Welcome everyone to the assembly this evening. We're going to study one of these foundational verses. I want to pick about one a month and really focus on it. There are some verses that we should just know as members of the Lord's church. There's just, we ought to know all of them, but there's just some verses that we really need to have a good understanding of. As I believe Brother Terry has had the lesson the last couple of times, he talked about Matthew 16 and 18. That's a big one. Then we talked about Galatians 3 and 27. Now, we're going to hit on that one a little bit tonight. But our verse tonight is from Romans 3 and 23. I've already told the kids, here's what I expect from them, so I guess this goes for everybody. I want them to have it memorized. It's a short little verse. I want to be able to find it in the Bible, so you have to know what the scripture is and where we find it. And then thirdly, you need to have some type of understanding of the verse. And that may be a little different for different people, depending on how much understanding we have. But we need to be able to explain what Romans 3 and 23 means. This is a very, very important verse as far as the Lord's church is concerned. And there it is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's from the New King James Version. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're going to talk about this verse and what it means. It's not an extremely long lesson. We're going to go a little bit back into Romans chapter 1, and then we're going to talk a little bit out of Romans chapter 2, and then we're going to allow the Apostle Paul to tie it all together in Romans chapter 3. A lot of questions back in the early days of the church. And one of the major problems, one of the major points of contention was a convert who had came out of the Gentiles versus a convert who had come from the world of Judaism. And how do these Jewish Christians, I don't like that phrase, but that's kind of how they refer to, how do Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians, how were they supposed to come together and make the Lord's church? You know, we think we have racism issues in our country, and we do. But I don't think it was anything like what the Jews and the Gentiles went through as the church began to bring these different types of people together. And that's kind of at the crux of Romans 3 and 23. But it is a verse that has meaning to us today as well. So again, Romans 3 and 23. Here's our memory verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Before we go study this any further, though, let's take opportunity now to go to God in a word of prayer. So Romans 3 and 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I begin with the question about these Gentile and Jewish Christians. Was it really that big of a deal in the early church? Was it really that much of a point of contention as the Jews and the Gentiles tried to converge upon this new idea of the church? And the answer is absolutely yes. It was a huge, major issue and something that really I even have trouble understanding and trying to wrap my head around. Let me give you an example from Galatians, the second chapter. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it talks about the Apostle Peter and his understanding of how these Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians were to get along. And this just flat out floors me. And this is Paul speaking. He says in verse 11, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before, certain men came from James. He would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." I try to wrap my mind around this. The Apostle Peter, one of the followers of Jesus Christ, one of the closest that anyone's ever been to the Lord, it says when the Jewish Christians weren't around, he'd sit down and eat with some of these Gentile converts. But as soon as some of the Jews would walk in, he'd back off. He'd back off and leave. Isn't that an amazing concept? He was being very hypocritical. And not only that, the Bible says that Barnabas got involved in the same thing, following the example of the Apostle Peter. I can't even begin to understand that. Barnabas has so many great qualities mentioned in the Bible. It's unbelievable that we would have people that they would only talk to certain groups of Christians as long as nobody else was around. That just amazes me. So was it a problem? absolutely heals the problem. So keep that in mind as we go through the story. So we're going to begin with what Paul has to say to the Gentile Christians. And I put a little note on here. This year reminds me of Paul discussing marriage. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about marriage. And it always starts out, at least most people, they like to start out with the part about how women are to honor their husbands. Wives are to honor and be submissive. And you can even, when you're speaking, sometimes you even see the men kind of turn and look and give a little wink or something. You better be paying attention to this. And sometimes the speaker doesn't get to the second part. But if they do, then it talks about how the husbands are supposed to love their wives as the Lord loves the church. And sometimes you'll see the wives giving an elbow to the husband saying, you better be listening to this part. And he kind of has a tendency to step on toes, not arbitrarily. He takes care of everybody. So I kind of have the same idea. In Romans chapter 1, Paul begins by letting the Gentiles just flat out have it. He calls the Gentiles and some of their practices and some of the things that they had done, he just lets them have it. And I can imagine this being read before the audience of the Romans, the congregation there at the city of Rome, and I can almost see some of those Jewish Christians sitting there shaking their heads. Yeah, y'all better listen to this. He's getting out. Y'all better listen. He's talking to you. He is talking to y'all Gentiles. You better listen because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So he really gets after him here. Romans 1, verse 13 and 14, the apostle here says, now I do not want you to be unawares, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So he's speaking, he even said, I'm speaking to the Gentiles. Now, especially for some of the kids now, you need to understand this. In the Jewish way of thinking, there was two types of people. You were either a Jew, meaning you could trace your bloodline all the way back to Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. And if you couldn't do that, then you were a Gentile. That's it. You were a Jew or you were a Gentile, there wasn't any gray area, there wasn't anything else. If you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. That's kind of how they looked at it. There were a handful of Gentiles that wanted to follow the Jews, the Jewish way of law. They were called proselytes. And even then, they were kind of sketchy, the way the Jews treated them. You were a Jew or you were a Gentile. You were learned or you were unlearned. You were righteous or you were unrighteous. And these Jews took great pride in this, kind of walked around with the collar popped up. They were pretty proud of the fact that they were God's chosen people. And if you weren't a Jew, then to them, you were just a dog. You were nothing. Keep that in mind as we read through this. So Paul is going to talk first in Romans chapter 1. We're not going to read the entire chapter. But if you start skimming through the first chapter of Romans, beginning in about verse 18, he really starts letting the Gentiles have it. He talks about the fact that they would not glorify God. They did not have enough respect for God Almighty. Then he starts talking about how they had foolish hearts. They were unthankful. Their hearts had been darkened. They didn't have much understanding. It says they professed themselves to be wise, when in fact they were not wise. They were foolish. It says that they went out and began to worship images. This is a big part of Romans chapter 1. It talks about how they would create images. And then they would worship the image. And they were worshiping the creation rather than worshiping the creator. And so, a lot of these Gentile pagan ideas. Remember how all the stories of how they were in Rome and in Athens and in other parts of the world. All of these gods and goddesses that they would worship at these temples. He starts talking about lust of the heart. And this is where it gets kind of difficult to talk about it, because then we start talking about these homosexual tendencies. And this was rampant in the Gentile world. And so Paul lets them have it. And in fact, we'll even read from verse 28. This is kind of a summary of what Paul had against these Gentiles, where these Christians had come out of. And he even says, some of them, you know, you're still kind of involved in this. You've got to get away from this. And we'll read verse 28 through verse 32 in chapter 1. It says that even as they did not like to retain God of their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And that is a description of the Gentile race. And I can imagine as this was being read in the congregation, some of those high and mighty Jewish converts sitting over there thinking, y'all, I hope y'all listen. He's talking to you. Do you hear what he said? You're not supposed to be doing this, like all of your heathen families do. You're not supposed to be a part of that. And I can imagine they're sitting pretty good thinking, oh, this is good. This is good. And Paul is finally getting after these Gentile converts. And I would even go so far as to guess there were some Christians that were thinking, these Jews, these Gentiles, they're really not on the same level as what we are. They're just not near as righteous as we are. So then what did Paul do in chapter 2? Well, now he turns his attention to these Jewish converts. These judgmental, obnoxious, self-righteous Jews. And now chapter 2 is going to change gears a little bit, and he's going to talk to these Jewish converts. Chapter 2, verse 1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. And now he's going to start talking to these Jews. And now I can imagine these Gentiles, once they pick themselves off the floor a little bit, now they kind of start, y'all need to listen to this, Jews. Y'all better listen to what he's saying. Now he's talking to you. Apostle Paul didn't pull any punches with anybody. He got after the Gentiles, and now he's going to get after the Jews. So if you start reading through chapter 2, those who were of a Jewish descent, he starts getting after them for being self-seeking. He gets after them for those that do not obey the truth. They like to talk it. They like to talk the talk, but not necessarily walk the walk. They like to do things that were seen by others, but not necessarily what was righteous. They would obey unrighteousness, it says in Romans chapter 2. Sadly, he calls many of them hypocritical. They're self-seeking. They get after the Gentiles for doing certain things, and then they will turn and do the exact same thing. And now I'm going to read a list from Romans chapter 2. And now this is going to be directed to those who were Jewish converts. In verse 17, he said, indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. So he's saying, you feel like you are just so superior. You are the ones that you feel like you are a light to those that are in the darkness, that you're going to be able to bring these Gentiles out because you're such a godly and righteous person. Verse 21, though, he says, you, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Ye who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Okay, so you're sitting there talking about how great you are, but yet you're doing the exact same thing that you are preaching against. And then he says, you are blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles because of the way you're acting. So Paul kind of lays it out. The Gentiles were not righteous in the way that they were living. They were in sin. And then he turns to the Jews and says, the Jews were not righteous in the way they were living. They were living in sin. And in verse 11 of chapter 2, he kind of brings a little bit of a summary here. He says in chapter 2, verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. In other words, it didn't matter if you were a Jew, a Gentile, rich, poor, man, woman, bond, free. None of that matters. It's you do it right. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's what matters. Then the Apostle Paul gets into, the end of chapter 2, kind of a confusing argument. It begins in verse 25 and goes through the end of the chapter, verse of chapter 2. And he starts talking about the circumcision and the uncircumcision. I'm going to try to break it down. This is kind of the symbol of the Jews, this idea of circumcision. This was a Jewish custom that was that set them apart, the sign. And he starts saying, we got one group. He says they're of the circumcision, and they keep the law. And he says, and that's the prophet. So he says, those that were Jewish by nature, followed the law of Moses, and did the law, he said, that was great. Then he talks about another group of people. He said, what happens if you have a group that don't follow the law? They don't do what they're supposed to, but they're of the circumcision. And he says, that's their loss. He says, that's negative. That's not, just because you are a Jewish person does not mean that you're doing what you're supposed to. Well, then he said, well, what happens if you have a person who is not of the circumcision, in other words, a Gentile, but follows the law, is faithful in the law? He says, that's gain. So he's trying to build this argument here that it really doesn't matter who you are. It's more about what you do. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's what you do, if you are faithful or not. And then finally, the fourth one, he says, what if you have no circumcision, meaning you are not Jewish, but you fulfill the law? He says that's actually greater than being of the Jewish faith and not fulfilling the law. Oh, and I sure those Jews have got upset on that. Because they had been trained their whole life, their whole culture, was that they were superior to everybody else. And so now to have the Apostle Paul come in and say, it's not about what your name is, who your daddy was, and your granddaddy, and your great-granddaddy. None of that means anything. It's whether or not you are willing to fulfill the law. So to try to clean this up a little bit, I'm going to change some words. I'm going to change this word circumcision. That means Jew. How's this? What if you're a Jew and you're faithful? Also, that's exactly what you're supposed to have done in the Old Testament time. Under the law of Moses, if you were a child of the Jews and you maintain the law, so that's what you're supposed to do. He says, well, if you're unfaithful in a Jew, that's a loss. And so there are a lot of people, we've been reading at home, how many times the Jews would turn their back on God. It's unbelievable how many times they would make these great confessions and commitments and then would turn their back. Not 2 weeks later. It's amazing. So just because they had the Jewish name means nothing. And then he talks about those, just because you're a Gentile, if you're faithful, that's a gain. That's good. And if you're a Gentile and faithful, he says that's greater than being a Jew and unfaithful. And I can just imagine the anger of these Jewish converts as they heard this. I can imagine the pride of the Gentile converts realizing that they were now going to be on equal footing with the Jews. For the first time. And now we get to chapter 3. And now we have some rhetorical questions. Here's our first one. Romans 3 and 1. Paul then says, what advantage then has the Jew? What advantage is it to be a Jew or of the circumcision? And he gives an answer. He says much. It's much in every way. And he goes on to mention how they had the words of God committed to them first. And they had the first opportunity to serve God. And they had the first opportunity to serve Jesus. The Jewish people had the first opportunity to enter the kingdom. He says that was a great benefit. But then we get down to verse 9, and the Apostle Paul asks another rhetorical question. He says, what then? Are we better than them? In other words, since we are of a Jewish descent, the Apostle Paul is of a Jewish descent, he is saying, does that mean that we are better than these Gentile converts? Are we as Jewish descent better than those of non-Jewish descent in the eyes of the Lord? And what was the answer? Not at all. He says, not even close. Both the Jews and the Gentiles are under sin. And that was his whole argument. In chapter 1, it was all about how the Gentiles were under sin. And in chapter 2, it was all about how the Jews were under sin. And now in chapter 3, he's going to put it all together. That everyone is under sin. And no one can claim that they live righteous enough to justify a home in heaven. So here's his outline. Number one, Paul said the Gentiles were unrighteous. And they were in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Jews were unrighteous. And in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Jews and the Greeks were all under sin. And fourthly, the law of Christ tied everything together. And so there made no difference if you were of a Jewish descent, if you were a Gentile descent, if you were rich, poor, man, woman. None of that made any difference because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And let me tell you this, we're all under sin today as well. We fall under that same mantra. We cannot sit here and pretend like we are so righteous and we are so good and we are so holy that we don't need Jesus. If we ever have that attitude, let me tell you, we are in trouble. So now we get to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to pick up verse 21 and it'll lead us right into our memory verse. He says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Doesn't matter where you came from. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. "For there is no difference," he says. "There's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So what does that verse mean? Well, it means Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God says, as of now, there is no difference. And under the law of Moses, that wasn't the case. But under the law of Christ, there is absolutely no difference. Now, the song I led here a second ago, I just picked it out. I never heard it. But it was based off of one of the Psalms. And I always try to remember that when I'm speaking. I try not to say, "Let's turn to Psalm chapter 4." Because they're really not chapters. The Psalms are songs. That was their song book. They sang those as song. So when we call out a song number, we don't say, "Okay, let's sing chapter 46 in the book." We just, it's song number 46. And so the Apostle Paul uses some of the Psalms to identify his point. In Romans chapter 3, verse 11 through verse 18 are all taken from the Psalms that they used to sing and to try to teach a point. I find that very interesting. So as we close our lesson now, I love this right here. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. That is the purpose of Romans 3 and 23. And now it ties back with Galatians chapter 3, which we studied, that Terry gave us a lesson on last month. Remember Galatians 3 and 28? Maybe now it kind of really buttress this argument. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And if you were of a Jewish descent, probably get the back of your hair on your neck and start kind of bristling up a little bit as you heard that. It was hard for them to understand that. It was hard for some of those Jewish converts to accept the fact that Jews and Gentiles in Christ were one. Even to the point that the Apostle Peter didn't want to eat with Gentiles if there were Jews around. I can't believe that. I just cannot wrap my head around that, but that's the case. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no eyeball test. And we like to give eyeball tests. We like to look at somebody and then decide what they need to do and if they're righteous or unrighteous. We all do it. We need to stop, but we all do it. We all look at somebody and think, they need to get to the gym. Or they don't need to get to the gym. Or may we look at somebody, they need to work on this, or they need to work on that. We like to do that. I think it's human nature. But let me tell you, there is no eyeball test when it comes to being righteous. Just because a person appears righteous does not mean that they are. And that was the lesson to the Jews. You can say what you want to say, and you can act how you want to act, and people may think that you are the most righteous person, but God's the judge. It doesn't matter how a person looks, that doesn't mean they are. Let's flip it around now. Just because a person does not look spiritual, they might be. We are not to sit there and judge whether the intent of a person's heart. We might judge their action. We're not to judge, "Well, I think this person is righteous and this person's unrighteous." That's not our job. There is no eyeball test. We're all going to be judged by the words of the Lord and His apostles. Obedience is key. It doesn't matter where you came from, what you do. It is all about whether or not you were faithful. In conclusion, no one is able to live up to the standard set by God. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, man, woman, it doesn't matter. No one can stand up and say, I am so righteous and I am so holy that I do not need Jesus. No one can say that. And that's the crux of Romans 3 and 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We are all sinners. Therefore, we must all obey the gospel of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We cannot expect our lineage, our ancestry, to take care of it for us. It doesn't work like that. We are all responsible for our own salvation because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So hopefully we have our verse memorized, Romans 3 and 23. Very, very powerful verse. Whenever I close on, I have a song of invitation. If there's any who needs to help in the church, he's getting ready to assist.